Hey, everybody. Thanks for making this call again. I appreciate the time and the platform to speak to you guys. Again, I apologize if my voice is a little bit raspy. Allergy zones three times in the last couple of days is not beneficial to the to the whole process. So I'm going to try to make this work. I'll throw it really quickly before we get started, just because I don't want to forget to do it, that you know, I continue to open up the Performance Center and Full Sail and our entire, you know, sort of Performance Center and NXT experience, if you will. I sound like Dusty, if you will. To all of you, if you would like to come down here, see what we do, take a tour, experience this, I'll open it up to you and make sure that it's well worth your trip, and I think that you would enjoy it, and it would be very enlightening. I'll start out by saying it's a very exciting time. It seems like I say that a lot, but it really is. It continues to grow by leaps and bounds for NXT. As you know, or all well aware of, this past weekend, we did shows in Philadelphia, two in Philadelphia and one in Albany. They were met with raving reviews. You know, our fan base for NXT continues to grow through the WWE Network, and I think through social media, and just we're grassroots, just word of mouth. You know, the NXT fan base is just very vocal, and it's sort of what I count on is them basically spreading the words themselves and getting it out there that if they come to an NXT event, that they enjoyed it and how much they want to come back, and that if you haven't seen it, you should see it. Excuse me. You know, and I would encourage them that if you are a fan of NXT and you do come, please preach it to the world. The shows were met with tremendous success. Proud of all the talent and everybody for the process, but I'm especially proud that in Philly on the first night on Thursday, that show was headlined by the NXT women and Charlotte and Sasha Banks. They main evented the first night. When they were done, they were giving a standing ovation. You know, I think that what we are doing in NXT changes the perception of the position and what women do in the industry. And I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud of them for doing that. And hopefully we're opening that opportunity up for everybody across everything. The NXT tours will continue in the following month. We're in Pittsburgh and Cleveland and Columbus, leading into Money in the Bank. The success of these tours has been phenomenal, and I look forward to keeping them moving forward. We're looking at, you know, kind of taking the rest of this year as some trial and error. We're going to be doing a few different things. We're looking at different types of buildings to run. We're looking at doing some festival touring. We are looking at and working on some international components as well. And it's very exciting. I'm thrilled about the whole process and look forward to, you know, 15 being exciting, but 16 being just fully up and running and just a full brand at that point in time. Moving on from there, I thought I'd like to say a special thanks to Jeremy Schaaf and ESPN and the E60 special. If you haven't seen it yet, I would really recommend that you do. It was awesome. It took a long time. It was over 2 years in the course of being made. Seeing some of it, I had forgotten some of the stuff that we had actually shot, but it was great. I think it gave a great behind-the-scenes look at what we do and how we do it, and some of the insight into the lives and real-life things that talent go through. I think it's easy to forget that when you see them on TV every week and you get into the bits and pieces of what they do as performers, you forget about their real life and everything that they have to go through as well. And I thought it was a great look at inside of what we do, and hopefully we'll have the opportunity to do more of these, whether it be through ESPN itself or through the WWE Network. I think these kind of behind-the-scenes looks are incredible. From there. I'd just like to take a moment to talk about why we're on the call, which is NXT TakeOver Unstoppable tomorrow night on the WWE Network exclusively. It's exciting. You know, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, I know there's a lot of speculation on Sami's health. Sami will be competing. He's been cleared. He will be in the ring tomorrow night with Kevin Owens. You know, the showing that Sami had a few weeks ago on Raw with Cena, and you know, his performance there was awesome. It continues to speak well for the brand. You know, Kevin Owens, I think everybody saw last night coming out on Raw and just making an impact as well. It speaks to not only how good they are, but also to the faith that the WWE is starting to have in the NXT brand. But tomorrow night's card, Unstoppable, is going to be awesome. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn for the NXT Championship. Blake and Murphy defending the tag team titles against Enzo and Cassidy. That's going to be a very entertaining match, I'm sure, as Enzo always is, and Cassidy. The NXT Women's Championship, Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks. I am, if I was on that card, I would be worried that they steal the show right out from under me, because I think that's going to be one to watch. I think there's also, you know, another Divas match on the card with Charlotte and Bayley teaming up against Emma and Dana Brooke. That should be spectacular. And also Baron Corbin versus Rhino in the NXT number one contenders match with Finn Balor, Hideo Itami, and Tyler Breeze. So it's going to be a great card. As always, we'll have some great surprises, and I think hopefully we will continue to do what we've been doing, which is raise the bar every time we go out there on one of these takeover specials. I also, just before we open this up to questions, want to take 1 minute to give you guys all an exclusive announcement on this call. I'd like to publicly announce two key promotions here at the Performance Center. And one is that, as of today, Matt Bloom has been promoted to the head coach, the permanent head coach of the Performance Center at NXT. And in addition to that, Sarah Amato has been promoted to the Performance Center's assistant head coach, which means she is the number two here. I think that is a phenomenal 1-2 punch. I'm very excited about the opportunity. Matt's just growth, his level of professionalism, his just everything has upgraded what we do here at the Performance Center and NXT. And I couldn't be happier for him getting that role, and I'm excited just about the future and about where it's all going to head. And then Sarah, for me, is just, you know, I can't say enough how proud I am of her. Her transition from talent to coach to trusted, just kind of figure to everybody on this roster, and now her growth up to the main roster and being part of that system as an agent and a producer, and being able to take that knowledge from there and the information that she gathers every week from that main roster and bring it back down here to the Performance Center, so the conduit is now wide open and the information goes back and forth. It's going to be awesome, and she is definitely the right person for the job, and I'm very excited for her. So I want to say congratulations to both of them. And with that, I'll open it up to you guys.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure that your mute function is disengaged to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question, and we will pause for just a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal for a question. And for our first question, we go to Dave Metzler with the Wrestling Observer.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
I'm great, Dave. How are you? I'm a little bit surprised. Usually Mike Johnson finds a way to be first in line, and this, you know, I know there's some competition between you guys. I don't know how that all worked out, but congratulations on being
shocking
number,
moment
number one. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah. A couple of things. When you just mentioned Sarah. Is she she's been going on the road at TVs, working as an agent as well as coaching at Full Sail? I mean, at the Performance Center. Is that
She's continued to do that and will continue to do that. You know, she has, as she came up to the main roster, took a lesser role here at the Performance Center. Obviously, she's not here every day because of her role on the main roster to train. So we're looking at that process and how we fill those voids as anybody gets an opportunity here. But the thing that's great is now that she's comfortable up in the main roster, you know, every week things change and things morph and there's a different set of information that is presented each week when you're at TV and hearing it directly from Vince and from the team up there. For her to be able to take that down here and be able to translate it when she comes back every week, whether she's here for a day, whether she's just on a conference call, or whether she comes back from TV and she's here for the whole week, we're gonna work on that schedule. But having that open conduit where she is the kind of the voice of everything that happens on the main roster and brings it down here so that we're seamless. You know, there's no gap when guys are coming up of going, oh, wow, I never heard that before, you know. It's just a seamless process now. I'm very excited for that.
Now, as you're talking about more and more, what is kind of like the goal, let's just say a year from now or 8 months from now as far as the NXT brand? I mean, would it be to be on the road? I mean, obviously you're talking about even international stuff. Would it be on the road a couple of weeks a month, 1 week a month, like you're kind of, it seems like you're doing now, or, you know, something like, you know, a 3-day tour similar to the other two tours?
I would like to do every bit of what the other tours do. You know, I think that when I say third brand, I mean it in every sense of the term. And we've embraced that now as the company, as WWE. I think WrestleMania and, you know, the last Network special, the Takeover special, and WrestleMania, and the momentum that we have carried going forward has made everybody realize that this is already a third brand. It's growing fast, and now with the support of the company itself, now we have all these corporate platforms. How do we take and expose this brand and utilize this brand on all those platforms? And that's where we're at now. I see 15 as the kind of the branch out year to see, you know, I don't want to just take for granted that what we do on the main roster works for here. I want to try to feel out what our best avenue is, where we're best suited to go and work and have this work in the best way possible. So, you know, Vince has a saying always, first day on the job, and in this situation it really applies. This is the first day on the job for us every day because this thing is growing so fast. We're trying to figure out where it goes every day and plot the best course. So I see 15 being the kind of the year where we try a bunch of different things. And by 16, I'd like it to be, you know, on the road, just like the main roster, 3 days a week, everybody getting that work in. I would even, you know, this is a long-term goal a little bit more, but I, in my mind, actually even see this having a two-tour function. And this is the first time anybody's probably hearing this, so there's probably some people that work here listening to this going, oh my God, what's he saying now? But, you know, in the past, we've been doing these little shows in Florida, and we've built up this really loyal fan base in Florida. I don't want them to lose that either, and I don't want to lose that grassroots and that hometown feeling of what we do here. So, you know, I would see us 2 years down the road, maybe, if the main NXT guys and girls are off on the road doing their thing, I might have a B-town of guys working in this Central Florida area, working in these smaller venues, and it being the talent that are trying to make their way up to NXT television or you know, just getting started on NXT television, and then you're really kind of seeing the beginnings of the future. You know, you can sit in the performance center all day long, and you can sit in the gym, and you can train. But until you get in the ring and you work in front of different crowds every night and you have that live experience, it's all just theory. They have to be working. And the more they can work, the faster they're going to improve. The faster they improve, you know, the better it is for everybody. And, you know, it's funny, sometimes people will say, you know, that there's this big comparison of like, oh, this guy's an indie guy, this guy didn't have experience. I don't care where people come from or... Yeah, indie guys are great because they have experience. Whether I agree with their style or anybody does, it's irrelevant. They have experience in front of crowds, and that is something that you can't teach. As we bring in new talent, we need to give them that experience because it is the way they learn to really put into use what we teach them.
When you talk about that... It becomes kind of an interesting... Now, a question when you say that, are you looking at getting the NXT television show on television in the United States because it's a good show, it's a viable show? I mean, it's great on the network. I don't have a problem with it, but obviously on television you would also reach a new fan base and a larger fan base if it was on the right station. I mean, is your talk pretty much now we're going to keep it exclusive on the network, or are you open to options of trying to get on television in the U.S.?
But listen, I mean, that for me, that's not my call. That is, that's a network and those decisions. I'm thrilled with where we are, and I'm thrilled with the fan base that we have and the network exposure that we have. It's certainly not hurting the growth of the brand. And I think that I look at it this way, Dave. If I was a 20-year-old kid, and I was going to buy the network, if I needed more motivation than the pay-per-views, the WWE main roster stuff being on there, and all the other content that you get as a fan, certainly NXT would be a big driver for me to spend $10 a month. I know it's mine, and maybe I'm biased. Well, all right, I'm 100% biased, but to me, I would look at that. I watch the show every week when it's done, and I go like, "Man, I like the show," and I would spend $10 to watch that. I really would. $10 a month to me to watch that is a bargain.
And also, one more thing. There's been some talk about injuries. Obviously, Sammy, we saw it on television, and Hideo. Is there any kind of stats? I noticed you mentioned Hideo working tomorrow night, and Sammy also. So, is there any kind of updates on those two guys?
Sammy will work tomorrow. Sammy is cleared to get in the ring tomorrow night and work. Hideo, from a storyline standpoint, Hideo will be represented. Unfortunately, he will not be performing tomorrow night. Hideo did get injured. You know, and I've heard the talk, and I've seen some of the things about people saying, oh, well, you know, guys getting injured. It is a physical business. You know, injuries happen. And obviously what we try to do in the business is perform to the best of your abilities with nobody getting hurt, but it's a physical business and guys get hurt. Is there a question of mileage on guys or how many years they've been in the business? Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, that's the nature of the game. It just is. I'm not concerned about that. Does it make it challenging? Yeah, I mean, no different than anything else. I mean, but when you get into a position where a guy gets injured going into something big, you just have to creatively move in a different direction. It is what it is, and make it as good as you can. And it's the beauty of what we do. If we're good at our jobs, as much of a factor as the main player that you lose due to an injury is, we come up with something hopefully that's as creative, and when you get done watching the show, you go, wow, that guy wasn't there, but man, that was worth it because it was great, you know. So that's our job. For us to do our jobs well is to do that. The rest of it is what it is. It's a physical business.
One last thing, because I know I'm monopolizing this, but so now I know this is going to probably change 100 times, but kind of in your head, what's kind of the balancing act between let's just say, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Charlotte, Sasha, all these women who are certainly, you know, women, men, who are certainly good enough to be on the main roster and be, and I believe be players on the main roster on Raw or SmackDown. I think Owens really showed it last night. And the wanting to have a certain type of feel and look on these NXT tours with guys who develop their name in NXT and become kind of branded as NXT guys. I mean, like you're trying to build a brand with these cool guys, and they're like, and people are seeing them as cool guys right now. Yet at the same time, there's the big roster in Raw, which is seen by millions and millions of people, and they're ready for it. So, kind of, what's your kind of thought on how this is all going down over the next year or two with top guys?
Here's the thing for me. I don't ever want to lose sight. Yeah, it's a third brand, but I don't ever want to lose sight of that. My goal here is to get talent ready to be on the main roster. For me to look at it otherwise, and everybody that is here, whether that be somebody that I'm bringing in for a couple of shots or somebody that's under contract with us at the Performance Center or whatever, my goal is in the long term to create stars. I want to look at it and say, 2 years from now, that every performer at WrestleMania came through this system. And some of those guys are going to be guys that we just put some polish on. Some of those talent are going to be talent that we made from ground zero, a guy or a woman that never stepped in the ring prior. It's one of the challenges of what we do here. I don't think I could have done a whole lot more to brand Neville as one of the faces of NXT. And then he gets the call. And I think probably for him, that's thrilling and a little bit bittersweet because the talent here have this unbelievable pride in what's going on down here. It's one of the things that I love the most about it is it's a team. They're proud of it. They want it to grow and they want it to succeed, and they feel like they're a part of that. And, it's tough. I just had a conversation with Neville yesterday. We were at Raw, and we were talking over some stuff, and then we were getting ready to walk away, he goes, "Hey, Paul, come here for a second." He's asking me about the Philly and Albany shows, and he said, "Man, it was hard to read about it and not be there." You know, and it's that kind of passion for the brand that's tough for guys. Don't get me wrong. He wants to be on the main roster, and he wants to be in WrestleMania, and he wants to do all of it, and he should. I don't want anybody here that doesn't want to advance or grow. That's the challenge of this brand that I'm hoping the best problem I can have is smack dab in the middle of the hottest thing I got. Vince calls me up and goes, like, "Hey, I want that guy." And I go, "All right, I'll figure a way out of it," right? It's part of me is going to be like, "Oh, God, I hate this." And part of me is going to be like, "All right, good. You know, I'm thrilled for him," right? Now I got to go back to the drawing board, put my thinking cap on, and try to come up with something creative to make the whole thing work. That's best case scenario for me is let's get them rolling, get them ready. And are there guys here that are ready to be on the main roster? Absolutely. Is the spot ready for them yet to be on the main roster? Nope, because if it was, they'd be there already. That's not my call, and I'm just creating the best feeder system that I can try to create. And in the meantime, I don't think there's very many guys that are sitting here in NXT right now going like, "Man, how long am I going to sit here before I get the call?" Like, they're having a blast. I don't think there's any place else they'd rather be. If they can't be on the main roster, they want to be here at NXT. And I mean, I'm getting calls every day from everybody outside of us, and from everywhere, saying, "Hey, like, whether it's today, tomorrow, or when my deal that I have right now ends, how can I get down there and get in NXT? I want to do that." And it doesn't even matter to me if it ends up being the main roster. I just want to get in there. So that's awesome too. It's creating a a great holding tank that is just phenomenal for them to be a part of. And hopefully when the call comes, they're ready to roll and we can just make a seamless transition.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave.
And hi, guys. Sorry, guys. For future questions, we'll keep it to two per outlet like the previous call.
Yeah. All right. So the call's over. Dave ruined it for everybody. He's up. Sorry. Please send all complaints and problems to Dave Meltzer.
And for our next question, we go to Jason Powell with ProWrestling.net.
Hey, Paul. Just kind of touching on something you talked about earlier with Sami Zayn, Hideo Itami, Daniel Bryan, all these guys who have had pretty extensive independent backgrounds, coming up with injuries that maybe from wear or tear, maybe from just something that happened in a WWE ring, does that change the way you look at recruiting in the future? Do you intend to recruit younger, or is that just not really a concern?
Well, I always want to recruit youth, and especially it's hard to recruit youth with experience. So if I'm recruiting somebody that's young, usually they have a lot less experience. The goal is to get young guys because it takes a while to get them up to speed. And, you know, if I'm bringing in a guy that's in his mid-30s and it takes me a couple of years to get him up to speed, there's not a long window of opportunity on the other side. So, yeah, I try to... It's a young man's business, right? And I try to keep that in mind. There's a million factors that weigh in on whether I bring anybody in or don't bring anybody in. And if I feel like there's somebody, I'm not saying I exclude anybody, but if there's somebody that's a little higher up in age, I'm looking at them saying like, all right, I'm watching everything they do. If they have a lot of indie experience or outside experience, I look at what they do and I think like, all right, how much, you know, to get them ready for Raw or SmackDown, what do I need to do or with them? Like, how much change do I need to make and how quickly do I think I can get to there so I think that they can fit in? And whatever that be, whether that be them needing to learn how to cut a promo or them needing to learn, a different style of work or whatever that is, you know. I think the other thing is, you know, we hear it talked about a lot is storytelling is what we do, and the physicality of what we do being phenomenal and being a great part of what we do. But it's one of the things we try to learn, try to get the talent to learn and try to really ingrain in them is that, you know, you want to try to have a long career. So, you know, you need to take in mind when you do these things, be selective of where you take risks and be selective of the amount of wear and tear that you take on your body on a day in, day out business. You know, work smarter, not harder. Work smarter, not, you know, just reckless or just, you know, and slowing down and telling stories makes that happen.
And Ring of Honor management has said that they view NXT touring as a threat to their own touring business, and obviously you, over the years, have signed some of their former talent. So I'm kind of curious to know how you view that promotion, considering so many of today's WWE and NXT talent have come through there. Is it straight-up competition, or do you see a need for them maybe even as a feeder system for you indirectly?
I love all those guys, Ring of Honor, just Dragon's Gate. You know, we've got a lot of talent that have gone through there over the years. They've gone through a lot of places over the years. I'm not trying to make NXT a direct competition to anybody, and I'm just trying to make the best brand and the best roster I can. And you know, I'm a believer in that the high water raises all ships, and if it's good, if WWE's business grows, if NXT's business grows, it means, in my mind, Ring of Honor's business will grow, and everybody else's business will grow, because it just raises the interest in what we do inside the ring. And, I don't want anybody to look at it as like I'm trying to hurt their business, and not at all. I'd love to help their business and help them grow and support them, you know. And it's funny, there's been a few talent recently that have put out that, oh, well, you know, we spoke to WWE and we were going to go to NXT, but we turned them down for an offer here or whatever. And I think what they've done is, and we've never spoken to them, by the way, and on any level. That I think talent have, you know, smartened up to the fact that, oh, yeah, well, they're calling me, so you're going to need to pay me more money, and good for them. You know, but a phone call, and we can talk about that. I'm not looking to put anybody out of business. I'm not looking to strong-arm anybody. If there's a talent out there that I can give an opportunity for something better, great. And if their business increases, great.
For our next question, we go to Sean Ralph Sapp with Wrestling Incorporated.
Hi, Paul. My question was, was the plan to make NXT an individual brand the plan all along, or did the popularity of the brand dictate that?
No, I wanted to do it from day one. And the question was, could I do it? So I didn't really say that to everybody because I didn't know whether I could or not. I've always felt like this needed to exist. As the business has changed and evolved, I always felt like this needed to exist, that this system needed to exist, that this feeder system needed to exist. It was just creating it. Going out and doing it is different than just thinking about it or talking about it. So it definitely, the idea was there long before the popularity of it and the drive of it. It's all been very strategic in trying to get to a certain place. That being said, lightning in a bottle, and sometimes I feel like I'm just holding on to the tail of NXT while it races up the road and trying not to lose control of it.
And also, there have been a lot of rumors regarding Samoa Joe and a possibility of him moving to the Performance Center or NXT. Have there been any talks about that, or do you have any interest in Samoa Joe?
I think Samoa Joe is a phenomenal talent. He did come here, I don't know what it was, a month, two months ago or whatever, when we were here last. He came. You know, the other thing in this business, a lot of people come here a lot of people stop by the Performance Center. A lot of people come here because they've got friends. It's not like Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and Finn Balor and all these guys haven't been around the world and know a lot of people, so a lot of guys come by here. It's funny when it gets picked up and when it doesn't, but he's a phenomenal talent. Whether or not we do business together, I don't know. I think he was impressed with what he saw. I don't think you can, not to toot our own horn, but I don't think you can come by and see the Performance Center and see the system that we have at Full Sail and just the level of what everybody here has been able to create and not be impressed with it. So I think if you weren't sold on the brand, when you come down here, you're like, well, I want to be a part of this. I think that's everybody. Whether or not we do business going forward, we'll see. I don't know. You know, we just loosely... I was pretty busy when he was here. I think I spoke to him for like 5 minutes, and it was mostly pleasantries.
Our next question, we go to Justin Labar with WrestleZone.
Hey, Paul. Thanks, as always, for taking the time to talk to us. As NXT continues to tour and the touring, and they have their own merchandise, you know, revenue obviously, I guess, can increase directly from NXT. That said, along with what we've talked about in the past, how some characters may work better in the NXT format and the crowd. I know it's a holding tank now, but do you ever see a time where both from maybe a booking standpoint, but also maybe from a financial standpoint, that a talent can say, hey, I can spend a career in NXT, and I'm happy and satisfied with that? Or do you think it's always going to be a strive to the main roster?
Well, no, I think for anybody it's a strive to the main roster. But if there's guys here right now, if you're this is what you do for a living, and hustle and book myself and travel all over the place and hustle to try to sell photos and hustle to try to sell some merch and all those things with very little TV or anything else and try to make ends meet, that's a lot of hustle. You can be here with none of that hustle and or very little of it on your end and just kind of be in this system and be doing, I'll say, as well or more likely than not better than you would do outside of this system as somebody here that is succeeding to some level at NXT. So I think, you know, you have to be realistic about the system and about what happens. The NFL lets go of 400 players every year, and they got a pretty big feeder system with college football and everything, but, you know, not everyone makes it. Not everyone's going to make it. And even some of the guys that get brought up to, you know, that get brought up to being on NXT television and they're succeeding and you see them and you go like, wow, he's doing really good and great character. And maybe, yeah, absolutely. There are some characters that work in NXT that I know aren't going to work to the main roster, but that's okay. But there are people in the system that they might not ever make it to the main roster. But this is a hell of a place to be. You can make a living here. You can do well here if this is what you want to do. And if it's not and you want to try to make a living elsewhere, that's cool too. But, you know, we're creating a brand that is self-sustaining, and that is the biggest thing. And I think there's ways for guys to be here, be a part of this. And then there's also a benefit to guys like Rhino, you know. Not like I'm bringing Rhino in here to work out at the Performance Center and do some squats and stuff like that. You know, I'm giving him an avenue to come in and work and be a part of this system. And, you know, he loves being here, and I've known him forever. He's a great, positive guy. Fans love him. And, you know, it's great for him. It reinvigorates his brand, and he can work here and do some shots with us. And it's of a great benefit to him. So I'm excited for that. This to me, this whole system is about creating opportunities, not just for people trying to make it to the roster, but for people wanting to be a part of this industry, and even if they're past their prime time in this industry, wanting to stay a part of this industry.
Great. And my second question real quick was, I know you said in the past, obviously we know NXT is your project and your day-to-day operation, that Vince hasn't got to maybe see as much of NXT. I was just curious with the exciting time going on for Kevin Owens. He had a great impact last night, as you mentioned earlier. If you could walk us through all the process, was that something where you made the call or suggestion and Vince trusted you, or did Vince get to make that idea or decision himself, or can you walk us through that process?
Yeah, there's a lot of collaboration on any of that. You know, I'm constantly in Vince's ear about who's ready, who's, you know, it's a constant thing. And, you know, he's busy. He doesn't get to see all of NXT. He doesn't get to see the whole show. He sees bits and pieces. I show him if something goes on or if I feel like he needs to take a look at something. Sometimes he'll say to me, I need something for this, you know, and I'll bring him a video of somebody and go, like, what do you think about him? You know, so, you know, the Kevin Owens situation as being specific and even the Sami Zayn situation, those were collaborative effort. I don't know who first brought the idea of the Sami and Montreal thing, and I don't remember exactly. We tend to not dwell on whose idea it was or where it came from. We just kind of, the idea pops up and we just take it and run with it. So I don't remember. It's collaborative. Same with the whole Kevin last night deal. It's collaborative effort. Idea comes up, great, you know. Clearly, in something like that, like Cena is a big supporter of NXT and what we do, and, you know, I'm sure at some point in time along the way, again, I don't remember the specifics, but I'm sure John weighed in. It's not like we surprised that on him, you know, yesterday or anything. So it's part of a larger process in bringing guys up, and you want to carefully try to manage all that system as well. It's just not haphazardly thrown together at the last minute.
our next question, we go to Mayor Nassim with Digital Spy.
Hi, Hunter. First question. With Neville pretty much having seen a beat there before Rusev got involved, and with Kevin Owens obviously making a hell of a statement yesterday, is this the beginning of the end for John Cena and your 2014 the group that are doing it?
Oh, I think the rumors of John Cena's demise are greatly exaggerated at this point. You know, I'm excited that John is a confident enough performer in his own right to be able to take guys like Sammy and Kevin and give them opportunities and give them time to shine. You know, I'm thankful to him for that. And, you know, at the end of the day on all of this, it's you give them that platform and it's up to them to succeed or not and to do what they do, right? It's one of the things I try to tell those guys when they get brought up. You know, I said it to Kevin last night, you're here for a reason. Do what you do. Like, don't second-guess yourself. Don't think twice about it. Don't, now I'm playing on a different level. Hope I can hang. Like, you can do this. Do what you do, man. Just go out there and be you and do what you do. And does that signal the end of John Cena? I doubt it. And I think that what it signals is the success of this system, and it signals that the future of the WWE is very, very bright, and that moving forward for everybody, as the John Cena's and the Randy Orton, time ticks as they move into lesser roles, as they step away. Whenever that time comes, that we have the people in place to carry this into the next generation. We're not in a situation where all of a sudden we lose, you know, three or four talent for whatever reason, and you go, oh my God, they're doomed, you know?
Absolutely. Emma is a great talent that came from NXT, and of course she's been on the roster, but is now back at NXT Unstoppable. With Paige back in the scene on the main roster, and reminded me of the great sort of feud that they had over in NXT. Is there a chance of Emma getting back into that title picture on the and showing, yeah, you know, a leading light there for the other women of NXT that they can make?
Yeah, you were breaking up a little bit, so I hope I didn't miss part of the question. But I think what you're asking is, does Emma have, you know, is Emma going to be having a chance to move back up the line? And absolutely. If I didn't think she had a chance, I just would have moved on. You know, she's a great talent. A lot of reasons why things happened the way they did, and we're where we are. And that's what you deal with today. I'm excited to give her an opportunity. I'm giving her an opportunity tomorrow night on Unstoppable. You know, it's about opportunity, and I know that if given the opportunity, she's gonna get on base. If nothing else, she's probably gonna hit a home run. So I'm excited about that opportunity, and for all the girls, you know, to continue to move and to grow. And I know sometimes they look at what we do down here. Some of the main roster divas, I think, look at what the girls get to do down here, and there's a little bit of a friction there, you know. You have to start somewhere. And what we're doing down here is, I see it. Hopefully everybody else does. It's bubbling up, you know. It's bubbling up, and it's happening. And that change is not going to be an all of a sudden, oh, my God, everything is different. It's bubbling up. We're creating change. We're creating a different playing field. And I'm excited for the opportunity that presents for everybody, whether that be the main roster divas, the NXT girls, everybody.
All right, guys, we're going to do two more outlets, then we'll have to wrap up.
And for the first of those two, we will go to Scott Fishman with the Miami Herald.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Going back to Vince McMahon, I Hey, how you doing? I know you got a chance, Vince McMahon got a chance to actually attend the NXT show over WrestleMania weekend. What can you tell us about the feedback that you got from him and just how the night went on and how he, what he felt about everything?
Oh, man, he was blown away. You know, one of the things that I have to say for Vince is that him having the faith in me and giving me the opportunity to come down here and create something, to giving me the finances and the support to do it, and then to be able to say, here, I'm going to trust you, just go do this, and good luck, you know, and then to be able to go back to him with that product and have him go, holy cow. I think that we were making some waves and you know, they saw, when I say they, the WWE exec team, including Vince, saw the success of what we were doing from a television standpoint, from NXT, from a WWE network and from NXT takeovers. They saw that. They were excited by it. And there were little bits and pieces that kept boiling up of like, wow, didn't expect to see that. Wow, that's a really cool, great number. Wow, that delivered more than we thought it would. San Jose, though, was a little bit of a tipping point. And as that, you know, that all came together last minute. An opportunity arose for the facility. I jumped on that opportunity, and I had to jump through a lot of hoops to convince some people that it was a smart thing to do. There was a lot of concern from the exec team. We have a lot of things going on in WrestleMania week, and I pushed for it hard and then executed it. And, you know, there was a lot of people that still weren't convinced. Vince not being one of them, he was on board with it, but he was getting a lot of pushback in some ways on it. And I think in somewhere in his mind he was hoping, geez, I hope this goes well. And then when we got to WrestleMania week and the buzz was so big and everything was going on, like, I didn't know he was going to come until last minute. Like, he just dropped me a note and said, I'll be by in a little bit. But a lot of that exec team came and were blown away by the fans, by the energy in that building, by the performances that they saw, by the brand that they saw in front of them. And that was the game changer a little bit for a lot of people. A lot of people came out of that going, holy cow, why aren't we doing more with this? I don't know why you're not doing more with it. I'm doing more with it. but, you know, that a lot of people came out of there with that, and it changed. It was a paradigm shift, and everybody changed. And I think for Vince, it was also a, like, you couldn't be in that building in San Jose and not, no matter, I don't care where, who you are, and I'm talking about Vince, seen it all, done it all, you could not stand in that building, in that arena, watching that show and not think, holy shit, this is something special.
That's awesome. You know? And lastly, moving forward to tomorrow, and you look at the card and the roster as a whole, is there one on the roster right now that has really come a long way and impressed you from where they started to today, making their evolution and going through the whole process?
As far as talent?
Some of that surprise. I mean, there's all, you know, those that have made the transition that you expect to be successful, but maybe one that you weren't quite sure about, but now they're getting this, you know, they're really coming to their own.
Well, there's so many of them. You know, it's hard for me even to say, like, when you look at guys like Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, you go, oh, they were so good, you know. Like, Sami's amazing to me to take a guy out of a mask with no facials and didn't really cut promos to, you know, not in a big way, to be where he is today. You know, Neville was that way. Neville was a guy who had really never spoken before on camera, and to get him to the comfort level that he was at, and also to get him to feel the emotion of matches. You go back and you watch him when he worked, you know, in Japan or whatever, and you go come and watch him work now, and the emotion that he displays and his ability to draw a crowd in. It's night and day. You know, Becky Lynch's change since she's gotten here. Sasha Banks, you know what I mean? Oh my God, the growth of Sasha Banks to where she is. Same with Charlotte. Charlotte was somebody when she walked in the door, had never even been in the ring before. Hard to believe with being Rick's daughter, but you know, to where she is there. You know, maybe genetically she got a little bit of an advantage there, but there's just so many guys. Even Finn and Tyler Breeze as a guy that was always this, you know, great hand, great mechanic. Sorry, but to where he is now. Not, you know, you can't even begin to express how big of a change that is. Baron Corbin, another guy. You know, we present Baron Corbin a certain way, and we're slowly giving you more and more of what he can do. But trust me, he can already do it. But he's a guy that goes from, you know, never having stepped foot in a ring before coming out of the NFL to where he is now. Amazing. So, yeah, I mean, I'm proud of everybody on this roster. It's not one talent. It's all the talent.
So next to William Shuler with One Wrestling.
Hey, Mr. Levesque, this is Bill Scarlett for One Wrestling. I want to thank you for the opportunity here. Question being, with the Give Divas a Chance phenomenon that went on earlier, and the solid backing that you and Stephanie have for the women's wrestlers, the divas, if you will, in both in the main roster and especially down in NXT. Can you confirm or deny rumors that there's a possibility that they're looking at making a NXT-style women's show for the network, or a takeover type of event that would focus strictly on your female talent?
I'm not saying that couldn't happen, but if there's been people talking about it, it hasn't been to me. That would be news. Yeah, that would be news to me. There's a lot. Listen, I have a lot of things in my head that we haven't done yet. And I would love to get there. A lot of them I don't share until they get closer to being something that I can do, because over time it just starts to, people just start to think, oh, those are pipe dreams. But I don't look at any of this. You know, you got to just think crazy and outside the box of where you want to be. And if you could wave your magic wand and just say, this is what I want it to be and this is how I want it, what I want it to grow to be, that's great. So then how am I going to be there? How am I going to get there? Now I make it a goal, not a dream, a goal. And I sit back and I go, okay, here's my goal. I might not share that goal with anybody, but I am making over the next 2 years, if that's where I want to be, I'm backing up 2 years and saying, what's step one? People asked me earlier if what I felt this whole system did it just kind of happen? None of this kind of just happened. These were all thoughts, you know, just wild dreaming. Did all of them come? No. Did, you know, as the dreams and thoughts changed as we got down the path. But a lot of them were just crazy ideas and thoughts that I then thought, that has some merit to it, and now how am I going to go get there? So then I take a step-by-step process of, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to go here, and that's going to open up this. And once people start to accept it as that, I'm going to move it to this. That's all of this. Do I think that that is beyond the realm of possibility, any of those ideas? Absolutely not. The world is changing. What they will accept as change, or what they will accept as change, you know, just the cover of Sports Illustrated, Ronda Rousey, the most dominant athlete on the planet. Anybody think that would have happened 5 years ago? You know, the world is changing. What they accept will change. And, you know, I want to be a part of that. I want to make that change, and I want to give them everything they want. How do we get there? That's the question, and it's going to take some time, but we'll get there.
All right. And my other question for you, if I can, is with the success of NXT, and obviously that success being in many of myself and other fans and alike, is that it's had more of an old-school feel to it, but with a new modern-day polish to it. Do you foresee that style of NXT changing possibly the style of the main rosters down the road?
Well, you know, I think anything in this, in the business, you know, at the end of the day, people can look at this how they want to, but at the end of the day, you really try to give the majority of the people watching what they want and trying to get more people watching at all times. If the style that we present in, I'm trying to make something, I'm trying to give you a vision of what I feel and what I think people want to see. But I'm also trying to give you a vision of something different than what they already see, because they can already see that. So I'm trying to give it something different. If people gravitate towards that and it starts to succeed at a level as it has, but even more so, and people are really gravitating towards that style, then yes, it will change the main roster, because we will change along with it. No different than it changed when you came out of the, you know, the 80s into the early 90s, and then the Attitude Era came. It changed because what people wanted to see changed. It took us a little while to get there, but as that change started to take place and we started to see how people were gravitating towards that change, we changed along with it. At the end of the day, the majority of the fans, and that's what people have to keep in mind, majority of the fans, what they want to see will dictate what we give them.
And with that, Mr. Hopkins, I will turn the conference back over to you for any closing remarks.
Guys, just wanted to thank you, as always, for hopping on the call. With NXT having more and more live events, if there's one in your city and you guys want to take in a show, please reach out to me and we'll take care of you guys.
Thank you guys again for the opportunity here on the platform. Hopefully these are beneficial to you. I love being able to give just some insight as to what we're doing, because I you know, see a lot of rumors and innuendo and all the different things that I can neither confirm nor deny. You know, to be able to give some guidance to that, I think is always helpful. If you guys have questions further in the meantime, please feel free to reach out. But I love doing these calls, and I want to continue doing them. If you see we're in your town, you want to come to a show, learn more about what we do from an insider standpoint, come here to the Performance Center, come to Full Sail, go to NXT. As this continues to grow, I'd encourage you to be a part of it. I want to keep this door open and, you know, not try to have you guys guess, but to be able to tell you what's going on and what to expect. Thanks for the time, and I look forward to doing it again in a while.